The Administration of the Secret, by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXVIII. September, 1948. Number 2. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. To me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace, to bring the evangel of the untrackable riches of Christ to the nations, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret, which has been concealed from the aeons in God, if 3:8-9. The secret was concealed from the aeons in God. It was not known by anyone, until God revealed it to Paul. What secret is this? In verse 3 we are told that the secret was made known to Paul by revelation. He did not get it from anyone who was an apostle before him. He received it from God. He says in this passage that he had written of another secret, which is in accord with this one. The other one is found in Ephesians 1, and has to do with the heavenly glories of Christ. The secret of Christ - of his heavenly glories - was made known to others in other generations, but not as it was revealed to Paul. Peter understood it in part, for he wrote of the fact that Christ has gone into the heavens and that sovereignties and authorities are subject to him. Peter wrote this to the circumcision saints. That secret, while it was known by others, was not known by them as Paul learned it. Peter knew only that Christ is gone into the heavens, and that he is over the sovereignties and authorities. Paul learned that he, in accomplishing his work, the will head up all in himself, and that we, the ecclesia which is his body, are predestinated to share in the allotment of this accomplishment, if 1:10-11. But the secret of our text is something different, although it is in accord with the other. Again I ask, what is the secret of our text? It is this: in spirit the nations are to be joint enjoyers of an allotment, and a joint body, and joint partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the evangel of which I became the dispenser, verse 6 of our chapter. It was known before that both circumcision and uncircumcision saints were in the body of Christ. But there was very little equality among them. The circumcision were in the ascendancy, while saints of the nations, Gentiles, were guests. Nowhere in any scripture written prior to Ephesians is it made known that the two were to be reconciled to each other, and that they were to become a joint body, with a joint allotment, and joint partakers of the promise. This is now made known to Paul. This is a secret that Peter did not have. No one, except Paul, had it. The promise in Christ that is made known through the evangel, gospel, of which Paul became the dispenser, is the promise of a celestial, heavenly, destiny. Circumcision saints have an earthly destiny. Daniel says they are to have the dominion under the heaven. But it is now learned that some circumcision saints are members of the body of Christ, with saints of the nations, and that a new administration had come, in which the two were to be jointly interested, not in the evangel of which Peter, James and John dispensed, but the one of which Paul became the dispenser. This is the secret of our text. The word joint, used 3 times, constitutes the secret. Saints of the circumcision, Jews or Israelites, and saints of the uncircumcision, Gentiles, are joint enjoyers of an allotment, a joint body, and joint partakers of the promise in Christ that is made known through the gospel that Paul brings. All of Paul's writings constitute new revelations. Much of it is in accord with his aid in the prophets. He often quotes the prophets, prefacing the quotation with the words, according, on some such word. Ephesians 4:13-18 is a new revelation, for instance, and that is in his first epistle. His teaching constitutes the untrackable riches of Christ. It cannot be traced in the previous writings. Paul did not receive his revelation through a man, Peter, nor from men, the body of circumcision or kingdom saints, but through Jesus Christ and God, the Father, Galatians 1:1. To Paul was granted the grace to bring the evangel of the untrackable riches of Christ to the nations, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret. Remember, the secret is the fact that Jews in the body and people of the nations, Gentiles, in the body, constitute a joint body, that they are joint enjoyers of an allotment, and that they are joint partakers of the promises in Christ that are brought through the ministry of Paul. This is what we have now. A new administration began with the application of Ephesians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, Philippians and Philemon. The new administration is called the administration of the grace of God, if 3, 2. Administration is management. The new administration is for those saints of the body of Christ who had been in the previous administration - the one covered by I and 2 Thessalonians, I and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Titus, I Timothy and Romans. The doctrine is not changed, for the doctrine of grace and salvation was taught in the previous administration. The change in administration was not made abruptly. From the first, Paul was striving toward grace in administration, and we find more and even more grace as we read his pre-prison epistles in their historical order. He tells us in the text that he was to enlighten all as to the administration of the secret. The secret is in force. There are yet some Jews in the body, even down here in the 20th century. They are on a par with Gentile saints. An additional supply of grace is shown in the fact that the circumcision saints, who, theretofore, had regarded themselves as having special privileges, are reconciled to the saints from among the nations, and there is, in manifestation, one body, if 2:16. It was true, in fact, that there was only one body, but this was not so apparent, because of the lack of reconciliation between the two groups in the body. Now there is only one body. Now there is only one group. All have become a new humanity. If 2:15. Now we are not to think of ourselves as being Jews or Gentiles. We are a new humanity. The difference has evaporated. This increase in the grace of God toward the church, which is the body of Christ, calls for more grace in our administration of church affairs. In our touch with each other, we are to walk worthily of our calling. This is a new calling for the saints to whom Paul wrote - a calling manifested in the reconciliation of the two groups into one group. Our conduct must recognize this. This should be emphasized, for we have lived to see a day in which there is strong feeling against Jews in our own country, as well as throughout the world. This should never be manifested in the conduct of saints. If there are Jews in the body, we must remember that they are not Jews, now, but members, with us, of a new humanity. We are to walk with all humility and meekness with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with the tie of peace. Racial differences disappear in Christ. In Arizona is a brother who is a full-blooded Indian, Brother Fred Johnson. The United States government has never done its duty toward Indians. Brother Johnson is endeavoring to build a church house in his state, and also to build a place for general conferences. The Indians are poor. I have promised him that I will undertake to help him. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to make some amends toward those original Americans, and, at the same time, help provide believers among them a place to worship and enjoy the blessed doctrine of the grace of God, as we enjoy it. I repeat. This is an opportunity - not merely a duty. I wonder if my readers are anxious to help. In Philippians we have the last word in service. If we will read it, we will be impressed with the absence of law, and the full outflow of grace in the willingness, nay, ambition, of saints to do whatever is necessary for the progress of the gospel. There we have four examples - Christ, Timothy, Epaphroditus and Paul. Here we have administration. In Colossians we see that we are completing Christ. This means that any form or ceremony or law that is intended to further perfect us, is not only useless, but positively harmful. For administrative acts, be sure to read the epistles that apply in the present administration. returned to main index page.